opinions from both sides of the aisle.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Today, the House is expected to pass its version of President Obama's $825 billion economic stimulus plan. On the other side of the Capitol, senators are adding goodies to their version. Before the bill can become law, both chambers will need to work out differences. On the other side of the Capitol, as I mentioned, senators are adding goodies there. Here's Marketplace's Steve Henn.
If this stimulus is a giant ice cream sundae for the economy, the Senate's busy sprinkling on the toppings. The biggest goodie so far is a $69 billion proposal that will shield millions of upper-middle-class Americans from having to pay the alternative minimum tax. Fixing the AMT wasn't in the original White House plan, but President Obama seems eager to pick up more Republican support.
I don't expect 100% agreement from my Republican colleagues, but I do hope that we can all put politics aside and do the American people's business right now.
But lobbyists are playing politics as usual. They're still pitching tax breaks for installing geothermal heat pumps. There's a plan on the table to buy up and slaughter dairy cows to boost milk prices. And shoemakers want lower tariffs on canvas shoes made overseas. But all these new toppings aren't cheap. The total price tag could top $1 trillion, including interest. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
It was another day of buying on Wall Street yesterday. Dow gained more than 0.5%. It's at 81.74. NASDAQ and S&P shares gained about 1% each. Asian markets closed mixed. Japan up, Hong Kong down, each a little more than 0.5%. Europe's trading higher today, 1-3%. Events got underway today in Switzerland for the big World Economic Forum in Davos. Political and business elites are there, as are more than three dozen heads of state. But missing in action are rock stars and supermodels who, in the past, glitzed things up over there in the Swiss countryside. And you can blame the deep recession on the muted tone there. Here's Sarah Gardner.
More than 2,500 are expected at the World Economic Forum's yearly GabFest, but the headliners won't be the kings of capitalism. They've been chastened. This year, the big names are political leaders like Russia's Vladimir Putin and Britain's Gordon Brown. The theme, shaping the post-crisis world. Former Reagan official and economist Clyde Prestowitz says, ironically, it's a crisis that many Davos types helped create.
I was at a meeting about a year ago at which people from Lehman Brothers, for example, said that they had stress tested their investments in their systems with every kind of shock and that they were shockproof. And, you know, then a year later, they're gone.
Many Wall Street execs have either nixed plans to attend Davos or cut out the lavish parties they traditionally sponsor there. PR guru Howard Rubenstein told Reuters banks should avoid, quote, thumbing their noses at taxpayers during a time of austerity. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 423 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce emissions. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
David Lazarus was at the gym recently getting some exercise, but it was his credit cards, stolen from his locker, that really got the workout. The Los Angeles Times columnist is one of millions of people whose identities are stolen each year. And he joins us now to talk about his own personal credit crisis. David, it's eerie to think about how credit cards can go from presumed safety to participants in an illegal spending spree. What was it that stood out to you in this crime?
I was astonished at how quickly this happened, because within a half hour of my theft, the guys at Toys R Us running up nearly $500 in goodies. I don't even do that at Christmas time, for goodness sakes. Then he's immediately at Best Buy buying an Apple laptop, then off to another Toys R Us, then back to the same Best Buy, and then off to Target, where he tries to buy $575 worth of stuff. And thank goodness the banks are now guessing that something is amiss and turning down the transaction.
They put the kibosh on it.
It took them long enough, but finally the system started working. working.
So you went to the police to report all this. What did they tell you about how common this is?
I was amazed when I was giving my police report and the officer who took my report said, you know what, we have some shifts where the only crimes coming over the transom are identity theft and credit card fraud. Mm. He said that since the economy went downhill, these crimes have started going through the roof.
You know, I hardly ever see anyone checking my photo ID when I pull out the credit card to charge something on it. What did the card company say about the fact that the thief was not showing ID for these purchases?
Well, when I started investigating what had happened to me, that was the biggest surprise of all. It turns out the credit card associations like Visa and MasterCard say that only a signature check is sufficient. They can check IDs if they want to, but, and this is very important, it is not grounds for turning down any transactions unless the merchant sees some other grounds for being suspicious.
Have we really gotten to a place in time where the inconvenience and the delay of checking a photo ID outweighs the costs and the ills of identity theft?
I think it's astonishing that we are now so inured to the idea that plastic is the way to go and that, even more importantly, fraud is a part of the equation, that we're willing to accept fraud for the sake of convenience. Moreover, that the credit card companies are prepared to swallow a degree of fraud so that they can get the $3 trillion in transactions in credit and debit card purchases every year. That, to me, is the more extraordinary thing. It's like saying, you know, it's okay if your house burns down because we'll rebuild it. A smarter approach is to say, look, let's prevent the house from catching fire in the first place.
All right, so what do consumers do to protect themselves against this kind of fraud?
Check your plastic, use a good strong lock at the gym, for goodness sakes, but always stay on top of your credit card bills online. And then when this does happen, and it probably will happen, you can do a fraud alert on your credit file. But bottom line is, it's all about you. You have to watch your own situation. No one else is going to watch it for you.
David Lazarus, columnist from the Los Angeles Times. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
There's more at our website, of course, podcasts, the numbers, economic news of the day at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.